In and we will get to them at the end of the service and have a prayers for the people, and also you see child care people up there as well. So join the church Sunday. That's next Sunday. We got some people who are going to be joining the church, and I think that is absolutely fantastic. So if you are one of those folks that want to talk about that for a few minutes and just get our last kind of ducks in a row, join me up here after the worship service or maybe a minute or two, and we'll talk through it and be ready for next Sunday. So that'll be a good Sunday. Here's a new number. If you save this one, if you start getting texts, you will start getting texts from us. That's the number that will come up when we have the, you know, the news come out from Jenkins. So make sure you save that one when it comes in. Loaves and Fishes. We are continuing the Loaves and Fishes through two Sundays from now. I guess that's two Sundays, right? These will go to the hot lunch program in the Philippines. So the little boxes. Anybody got a box? Hold it up. Where's one? Yeah, up here. Somebody already brought them in. If you have not gotten yours, there's some on the table outside, and you'll bring those in before the end of the month. $1, $5, $100, whatever you want to give into the box, and we'll make sure that goes to a wonderful program for the denomination. Are there any other announcements? Anything else going on in the life of the church that we need to hit? Yes, ma'am. Christmas tea is at the Methodist Church at the end of the month, you said? No, you'll have a message out by the end of the week, you said. If you've not been, all the women say it's a blast and you have a good time, and so make sure you're a part of that. So if you see the text that comes up, just answer it and we'll get everybody signed up. Anything else?
Elizabeth, what's the date of the tea?
Just make up one time.
13?
If not, we'll be closer by the end of the month, by the end of the week, when we get up. There we go. Some just block out that week or so, and we get. Any other announcements? Anything else? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you. Kaysen's instrumental debut? Was it? Did y'all heard the man, right? He had the shaker? Was it a shaker, right?
Shaker, yeah. He was going 1, 2.
I could see it, yeah. That is apropos to our call to worship. If you would please stand and watch what happens right here, church. My goodness. From Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn and the sound of the shaker. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Go back to me one time, brother. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for the joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for the sounds of worship. Thank you for the laughter as we go into worship. Thank you for the look a moment ago of that child looking up at the smoke that was drifting up from the candle and the little bit of light that was in it. He was looking at it so intensely, like we ought to be looking for you. Thank you for the sound of conversation in the church, where people are laughing with each other and talking and sharing deep things and light things too, greeting one another, welcoming each other into this place. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the scripture that will be read. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Kim coming up and delivering a message to us about what she does in this world for you and what you're doing in this world for us. Thank you, God, for all of these things as parts of worship, because we know by coming in this building, we are on a search for you, on a hunt for you, and we know we'll find you each and every time. So thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for worship. Thank you for allowing us to be here together. And thank you for the first time we get to lift our voice, the first time we get to pray today, the first time we get to do anything today in your honor. And God's people said,
amen.
So we've already worshiped with piano, guitar, and shaker. So now we're going to lift our voices and come we that love the Lord.
I was very hoping much that was someone calling. to speak about the scripture I'm about to read, because I don't 100% know what I want to say about it yet, because it's so expansive. Maybe that would help, but I'm on the hook. From Isaiah 65, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating, for I'm about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall there be the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and the one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days for my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy ground, says the Lord. I will simply say this. I am ready for that day. Could we have it right now, please? Right now, if we could. I think we all want that. And yet, don't we know in a little bit of a way it's coming true time after time after time again? Terrible things happen. You're in the medical field. Both of y'all are. You know this. But do you not know the healing stories? Do you not know those moments where beauty just erupts all of a sudden? And how do we live in that if we don't try to live in it day to day and moment to moment? Yes, this world is not there yet, but I keep seeing glimpses of it. And therefore, I have hope and I have assurance that the promise is still as real as it was that day. I truly believe. And that's why we sing this God every Sunday. Let's sing again.
Just so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
funny. I said Brother Kim a moment ago because we were talking about Mount Sharon, and one of the wonderful, I mean, that was the church I was at previously, 10 years ago, and there was a wonderful woman at church named Linda who didn't know what to call her. And so just Brother Linda, or Brother Kim is what just kind of came out and had to recognize there is okay for a Sister Kim as well. So it got stuck in my head. So funny. Thank you again for the continued offerings. I say it every Sunday. We have the multiple ways that we can give now. We know that kind of world changed with the pandemic and had never changed back. But I do want to recognize this. I saw the slides. I'm well enough familiar with the first two or three slides, and I understand that we'll be speaking a lot about Haiti today, and somewhat anyway. And the church will be making, the elders will be making a decision on how to aid Kim's ministry in Haiti, and we will be opening up the opportunity as well to be able to do so. So know that that will be coming just as part of our offering and gifts to God and God's people. So thank you in anticipation of that coming. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for the act of giving. So often we just talk about it as a thing that we do or an idea, but the very act of giving, we know God does something to us and obviously for others. We can't think the same way once we've given of ourselves. We can't see the same things that we saw if we didn't do that. And so thank you, God, for the very nature of giving being good. We ask that you show us what that goodness looks like. We talked last week about the challenges of the scriptures with money and all of that weird stuff. And so we just ask that you speak wisdom to us. How are we to live in this world that is right and good? And how do we do that through our life in the church, through our offering to God in all the ways that we do? Thank you, God, for those lessons. And thank you for the wisdom that comes through it. And we ask that you continue blessing us and calling us our attention to the wisdom of giving. And as we go into Christmas, Lord, allow us to remember that it's not the gifts that matter so much. It's the remembrance and understanding of showing love to not only those people we love in this world that we know, but let that end up causing us to love as many people as possible, because giving is just that good. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of giving. And God's people said,
amen.
I want to say two things as we get started with Sister Kim. I want to first read her bio and then tell you a little bit of what I know about Kim. Kim was a nurse for over two decades before sensing the call to expand into ministry of the Word and Sacrament. All her experiences and gifts came together as she was deployed to Haiti as a CP missionary. She continues to work to support Haiti though currently back in a nursing role at Vanderbilt. She has two grown children and is glad to be back where she can frequently assure her parents that no, she has not been kidnapped. Wait till you hear some of the stories. Here's how I know Kim. I've heard her speak twice. The first time she spoke using the autoimmune disorders as a basis for understanding how we should never attack one another. And I was just stunned when I heard that one. And then Marie and I heard her speak at Presbytery. And as I sat down, Marie goes, she's speaking at our church. And I said, yes, ma'am. I think it's a great idea. But that's not what I know about Kim. I know Kim is a healer. I saw that because I know where she's been in churches. She went to the church that I was at previously that needed a healer to come in and just love on people. And she did it, and she did it so incredibly well that it brought my attention. And so then seeing these things that she says afterwards made me realize that's why she can do this. That's why she can heal. And then in her role as a nurse, she's a healer. She's a shaman, man. And so I am honored to be able to share the pulpit with Reverend Kim Moore, if you would. Now I'm leaving.
Okay. Bonjour tout le monde. Moi, très content. Oui, aujourd'hui, à partager parole bon Dieu avec vous. Did anyone know what I was saying?
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I am so happy to see you today and to share the word of God with you this morning. If you couldn't understand what I was saying, welcome to my first 2 months in Haiti. It got a little better after that, and then it got good. And I'm so thankful now that I work at Vanderbilt. A lot of the people that work in the housekeeping department at Vanderbilt are from Haiti. So I get to speak Haiti with all of them, and then they bring their friends up to my office to say hello, and then they're just shocked. How does this blonde know Creole? So it's really fun. I want to share a bit of scripture with you before I launch into my PowerPoint this morning. And before that, I want to pray. In Haiti and in Guatemala, I found that it's dicey to speak in a language that's not your mother tongue. For example, I might have said, the word for bra is sutan, and the word for Satan is satan. And I might have preached that bras are the enemy. You ladies know I was still speaking the truth, amen? So I always pray that no matter the words that come out of my mouth, that what you all hear is what God wants you to hear today. So let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your presence here with us, Lord. So good to be with you, Lord. You are worthy to receive our honor and glory and praise. We ask you, Lord, to pull back the veil today and reveal yourself more of you, Lord, more of your love. Pour it out today. No matter what I say, Lord, let us hear what you want us to hear and give us the courage to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture will be Matthew 11, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 11, 1 through 11. And after Jesus finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And when John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." And I'll stop there. I love this scripture, and the Lord brought it to mind so many times when I was in Haiti. I think of John sitting in prison, some of his darkest days, hungry and hurting, and he has questions because he has already told us earlier that Jesus is the one. But in his darkest days, he has some doubts. So he sends his disciples. And Jesus reassures him not just by saying, "I told you I'm the one, I told you so." Jesus doesn't hit us over the head, right? Thank goodness. Sometimes I need it, but sometimes he does it when I do. But what Jesus did to reassure John was to say, "Look around. I am at work." And I think sometimes when we're discouraged, we just need to look around and see that God is at work. And so I want to encourage you today with what I looked around and saw in Haiti, how God is at work. And much of it through the love and generosity of the Cumberland Presbyterian people. So I want to show you the light shines in the darkness. And this is the view from my balcony that I got to get up and look at this every morning as I had my devotions and just let God pour into me and fuel me for the day and pray that he would pour me out however he wanted to. And when I got ready, I guess I get to do this myself, right? When I got ready to make a PowerPoint about it and go and tell the story, I don't know if any of you ever make PowerPoints, but there's this new feature now. When you put your title in there, it'll suggest some pictures that you might want to use. So I typed in "Living like a Haitian," and this is the picture that popped up. But let me assure you, my experience in Haiti, other than the beautiful sunrises, was nothing like this.
But where is Haiti? If you look up in the upper left-hand corner of this picture, you'll see Florida. And so if you fly past Cuba, you get to this island in the middle that shares two countries. The island of Hispaniola shares Haiti, which is a former French colony, and Santo Domingo, or Dominican Republic, which is a former Spanish colony. And here's what it looks like from satellite. And you'll notice something interesting here, that the Haitian side of the island is kind of brown in comparison to the Dominican Republic, which is green and lush. And the reason for that is, when the people of Haiti were set free from slavery because of their revolt, they were told by the French people, okay, you can have your freedom, but you've got to pay us reparations for our lost property, meaning the people of Haiti. And so they immediately became the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and they remain that today. And their island is brown because they have cut down every single tree that they can to make charcoal to sell and make a little money for their families or to cook their food with. But this is my experience of Haiti, just a beautiful place. This is my little house built on top of the clinic, which I'll tell you more about later. And you can see my Haitian utilities here. My water, which would be filled by a solar pump in the tank there. And my electricity came from the solar panels there. And my air conditioning. You'll notice there is that hole in the wall with the bars. That's my Haitian air conditioning. And this is just an example of some Haitian plumbing, which if any of you know anything about plumbing, you know things need to run downhill. So you have to be a little careful. This is another example of some Haitian plumbing, which a Western toilet is something most people had never seen before they came to the clinic for the first time. This is my bed. Had to sleep under a mosquito net. Had to turn out all the lights at night or else the bugs would just swarm in along with my air conditioning. Had to learn some things new, like how to iron your clothes with a charcoal iron. And you can't set it up like this when you're done, because all the charcoal will fall out on your nice clean clothes. I only did that twice before I And I had some hobbies too. Oh, let me mention my solar clothes dryer. Can anybody guess what this is hanging there? It's toilet paper. And you only use it for certain things, and that's all I'm going to say about that. I did have some hobbies. This is my third garden up on the roof of the clinic, because that's the only place to keep it from letting the goats get into it. And right about the time I had to come home, just starting to get a few things going. This is the most beautiful thing about my home. This is the CPWM meeting. They would go from home to home every week and pray and worship. And this was my turn to get to share my home once it was finished with all the ladies in the community there. There are 6 Cumberland Presbyterian churches in this area of Haiti, southern Haiti, in case you didn't know. And there are 6 pastors of these churches who were challenged to go and find a community that didn't have a place to worship, go and build a church there. They were provided a few little funds, and then they raised all the money the rest of the way themselves. And that's exactly what they did. They've all been in existence for 11 years this year. So this is one in Nanaku, which you might have seen in the Missionary Messenger if you get our CP magazine, because last year's gift to the king went to help them finish their building. This is the only church that didn't have a permanent building when I first moved to Haiti. You can tell that it's poles in the ground with some sheets of tin nailed to it, and it had been wiped out by hurricanes a few times, so this is probably 3.0. This is the building almost finished, and they had their kindergarten and 6th grade graduation in the building. The tarps overhead are to keep the sun off because it's so hot in Haiti in the spring and summer and fall. And there are 3 times more people standing than sitting in this church. With the gift to the king, they were able to put a roof on, and this is the new church next to the old church. And I got to worship with them the first Sunday they had a service, and it was standing room only again. Praise God. Each of the pastors recognized the difficulty of not only discipling people because the literacy rates were so low, they couldn't read the Word of God for themselves. And not only that, but the poverty in their communities is stark. And teaching someone to read is one of the ways to break that chain of poverty. So each of the six churches built a school. The enrollment in these six schools is now, about 10 years later, over 900 children. This is Tia, who is the lunch lady in Grigri, which is the hardest church to get to. You have to have four-wheel drive to get to four of the six churches. She, one day a week, maybe 2 days a week, it's getting harder and harder to provide hot lunches for the kids, and loaves and fishes went to feed this program a few years back. She makes it 1 or 2 days a week in her big pot, and it's beans and rice, and they are serving it on styrofoam plates with plastic forks, which they feed the first shift of kids, and then they wash all these plates, and then they feed the second shift of kids and wash them and use them again day after day. This is the school at Lexi, which is the only school that's not in a permanent school building. It's a pole building with tin, and they have blankets and tarps between the classrooms. So if you imagine your children being in a room, a big room with six other classrooms only separated by blankets, how difficult it might be. But these children had nowhere to go to school before the Cumberland Presbyterian Church came to the community. And they're happy to be there. So a few months ago, the pastor at Lexi sent me this blueprint and his dream of building a cinder block school. And again, just breaking the chains of poverty in his community. All the churches, all the pastors have such holistic views of what ministry is. Nothing, in their view, is impossible for God to use as a ministry. Amen? People who use burritos as a ministry. This is Pastor Yvette Chouel in Mache Cabrit, which means goat market. And he is standing next to the well that he provided for his community. They are in view of the ocean from the front porch of their church. Guess how many feet down they had to dig to hit water in this well? Throw out some numbers.
200.
Oh, you went way over. Mostly people will start with 50, 147 feet deep. But the most incredible thing about it is this well is dug by hand. So there are two men and a hole about this big, and one man is down in the hole and sending up a bucket of dirt at a time, and there's another man at the top of the hole pulling it up. And I have a video of the first bucket of moist dirt coming up out of this well, and it's like Super Bowl touchdown. And just incredible. And in fact, while I was living there, the pump went bad because it's just in use day after day after day. And it was like the community was silent. But when you go and the well is running, it's like the community place to gather and hear the news and talk to your friends. This is a sewing machine. Maybe your grandmother's got one in the attic, or you got one in your garage. You ever seen a Trundle sewing machine? So my second trip to Haiti, we took four Singer's heavy-duty sewing machines because the pastor's wife in Dufour, where I lived, had an idea to make a sewing cooperative. And so they hired a teacher, and they had 10 ladies and 2 men in the same class, and they learned everything from how to make the pattern, how to sew it, and the solar energy was not enough to power those four heavy-duty Singer sewing machines all the time. So having a sewing machine like this is a real blessing to their cooperative. And it has grown. This has grown so much that they now have 3 classes, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And the people who are in the first class help teach the people who are starting to learn now. But let me tell you how this is a weapon against voodoo. In Dufour, there is a stronghold of voodoo. When I looked out my window at my house, I could see the voodoo church in the distance. And I could hear the voodoo drums at night. In fact, the year before last at Halloween, it's a big festival, all like 4-day-long festival. And I was lying in bed trying to sleep, and I thought it was lightning. I went to my window, and they were having a laser light show at the voodoo church. And it really attracts the young people, but it really sucks people in. And it's a belief system built on fear. And it's also the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world, because the voodoo practitioners would convince people that they were cursed. Any illness, if your child's sick, if your well goes dry, you're cursed. And if you pay them a little money, they will counter curse. And then they're going to come to you once they get their hooks in you after a little while and say, that curse has probably worn off by now, and you need to pay me and I'll make a new curse for you. And so I saw people steal from their neighbors in order to pay their voodoo practitioner. It's an evil practice. And so there are people in Dufour, the sewing cooperative, when they would finish their garments, they would have a fashion show about 3 times a year, 4 times a year, and the whole community would come. So there would be people stepping foot into the church at Dufour who have never been in a Christian church before. And they see that there's joy here. It's not all about a laser light show here. There's joy and people loving each other. And so they're using sewing as a weapon to fight the enemy. And they're always growing. Every single church has got some kind of either school or church building project, because they're all just bursting at the seams. And so this is an example of a Haitian construction project. When I first went to Haiti, this was the school in Grigri, the place up on the mountaintop. And the pastor's cistern at their home had been damaged in an earthquake. And so I talked to him, how much would it cost to fix your cistern? Because they were traveling over to the school to get water for their home. And he got with a contractor and estimated the cost, and $500. And so we figured out a way to get him $500. So the next time I come, and guess what he used the $500 for? He's still going and fetching water for his family and the school. And so then, but he ran out of money before he could put a roof on. So same people who helped build his school provided the money for the roof. And that's just how Haitian construction projects go. They step out in faith where they feel God is leading them to act, and then they wait for God to provide the way. So I want to tell you about the ministry that I was involved in the most in Haiti. This is the crew that started Hanamel Clinic, with a crazy nurse practitioner there in front who could barely speak Creole when we opened, seeing patients speaking in Creole. But that same community, Dufour, where voodoo has such a stronghold, voodoo was the only medical service available to most people in the community. So along with the curses, they would offer traditional remedies. And we learned of the story of a young girl who had broken her arm, and the family couldn't afford health care. They went to a voodoo practitioner who bound it up either too tightly or didn't tell the family to watch out for swelling. And the next day they were sending me pictures of this young girl's arm that was solid black and 3 times bigger than her other arm. And they ended up having to amputate it. But the pastor sent me a blueprint pretty soon after that and said, what do you think of this? And I said, what is it? And he wanted to build a clinic. And so God made the way. And this is the crew now. They have 3 doctors who are Haitian, and nursing students and nurses and receptionists, and have a pharmacy. But I want to tell you about the work going on there. People sent us glasses to dispense. And let me ask, anybody over 40 in this room?
None.
Is your phone a little harder to see these days than it used to be about right here? Imagine if there was no fix for that. Imagine if the thing that you were trying to see was the food that you were preparing for your family, and you had to pick the rocks and the bugs out of it before you cook it, and you just can't see it. We gave out over 1,000 pairs of glasses the first year that the clinic was in use. And I say, the blind see. And how many of you over 60? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll be 60 next year. And so churches would send us supplies. There's a missionary organization called Agape Flights. If you are wondering what to do with some money that you have laying around, it's such a good cause. They deliver to missionaries only all around the Caribbean. But they would bring us prescriptions that are expired and over-the-counter medications and bandages and Neosporin. And so we gave out 15,000 extra strength Tylenol the first month that we were open. And that was our average every month when we had it. And it would run out. But those, imagine if you were 60, 70, 80, and having to still work in the fields every day. Still going and fetching water for your family, maybe walking a mile to go do that. And a gallon of water, you know how much that weighs? 8 pounds. But they didn't just carry a gallon of water. That'd be the kids' job to carry a gallon of water. They were mostly 3-gallon buckets, 5-gallon buckets. So the first time I gave out 2 extra strength Tylenol every night for 30 days, those people came into the clinic, as we say in the South, with a little hitch in their get-up. But they came back the next month leaping for joy. 2 extra strength Tylenol every night. Just imagine if you were 80 working in the fields and that didn't exist. I say, the lame walk. And here's some of the rest of the story. A little church down in Alabama, and I feel like every 4 weeks or so, I'm seeing something on Facebook about them making Boston butts or ribs or a pumpkin patch. And what they're doing is walking side by side with these churches in Haiti. It's just the way they live their lives as a church. And I know that that's the case with you guys. You're walking, living your lives side by side with people who have needs and being the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. But they've just got it programmed into their church that they're going to just live their lives in service. And they love these people in Haiti. Many people have gone down there and helped build those buildings. So close your eyes if you're squeamish for this next part. Before the clinic was even open, I hadn't been in Haiti a week, and they know that I'm a nurse practitioner down there, and the lady came up to me and showed me this cluster of boils under her arm, and she was sick. She had fevers and just she was on the verge of being septic. And so I had one little tube of medicine that I brought with me from Guatemala, and kind of like Neosporin, and that's all I had to give her. And I gave it to her, and I prayed a lot. And she came back a few weeks later and showed me that. So I say, whew, it's miraculous. This young man came with this cluster of boils on his back. I saw so many skin problems because the water is so dirty. So each week I would take a picture, and all I had was Neosporin and bandages and some expired antibiotics. And each week, I would take a new picture until he sent me this picture, week 6. This gentleman had these venous stasis ulcers on both sides of his ankle. He told me he had had these for 10 years. Well, the first thing we had to do was bring down his blood pressure, 240 over 120. He'd never had any medication for his blood pressure. The blood couldn't get to these wounds to heal. And so after a month of reining in his blood pressure and Neosporin and bandages, I don't know if you guys can tell how much better this looks, but I got to see it be healed. And I say, the lepers are cleansed. Yes. And the good news is preached to the poor, and the chains of poverty are broken, and the prisoners are set free. This is the foundation of that school, of that blueprint that I showed you. And he's built some cinder blocks on top of that since then. We had a few babies who came the very first week we opened the clinic in May of 2024 that I think would be dead if the clinic had not opened that week. There was nowhere for their parents to take them. It cost 500 goud at the time to come to the clinic, and that's $3.75. And then we had to up the price because people were coming from so far away for the clinic that we couldn't serve the community that we were in. And the Ministry of Health told us we had to charge more. So now it's 1,000 goud or $7 to come to the clinic. And there was nowhere to go before except to a voodoo practitioner. So I say the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So look around. at the kingdom come to Haiti. And it's not without the love and support of the Cumberland Presbyterian people here in the United States. And I thought of this scripture so many times, where Jesus says some of his last words to his disciples, what it's going to be like when the sheep are separated from the goats. And he will say to the righteous, you know, you saw me. And they'll answer him and they'll say, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? And when did we see you thirsty, give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? When did we see you needing clothes? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? And I would add, when did we see you without hope? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And I just want to show you some of the joy and hope that the people in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere have because of brothers and sisters here. The little boy in the white shirt, I saw him, and he had gangrene on his hand from a bite that was infected. And I gave him some expired antibiotics and some Neosporin and bandages, and he had run up to me this day to show me that his hand was healed. The joy on those faces. Amen. So I learned something as I was learning Haitian. I'll just close with this. As I was learning Haitian Creole, that the people of Haiti don't just say God. You hear that like D in divinity, divine, D. And Dieu is God. They say bon Dieu. They say good God. When they say God's name, they say God is good. So if the people in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere say God is good, every time they say his name, they thank him and praise him. How about us who live in the richest country in the world? So I'll leave you with a Haitian farewell. Thank you very much and have a good day with God. Merci un peu et gagne un bonjour avec bon Dieu. Avec bon Dieu. Amen.
So if you'll stand, we'll sing Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Thank you.
for him. You are not allowed to put me that close to tears for that long ever again, sister. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I want to share one bit of information. I might neglect to share the introduction, but now you'll know why. A couple of 3 weeks ago at Nashville Presbytery meeting that Marie and I attended, the Nashville Presbytery decided by a unanimous vote, to nominate him to be the moderator of our General Assembly next year. So at our General Assembly in June, she'll be one of the names placed in nomination, and any other vote would be insane. Our denomination needs you, and thank you for saying yes. We'll hear much more about that as we get toward June, I assure you. We always take this time in the worship service to bring the prayers of the people. We will obviously put the churches in Haiti on that list for obvious reasons, and find how we will best assist you. And we'll talk to you about that very soon, how to do that, because what a story. I'll also share with you that I saw Mr. Harold yesterday. I mentioned this in the message that I left yesterday, but I saw Mr. Harold. How close was this to that? We got there and we went in, and he said, "Oh, you came right before, just in time before I have dinner," which is a very good hint. If you can stay a little bit, but don't stay forever. Dinner's coming. But I got there, and one arm was hooked up, and he had spinal surgery. He had a spacer put, I think, in a vertebrae or something. I didn't exactly figure it out. He said he was feeling great, though. It wasn't hurting, and he was happy about it, but he couldn't use his other arm to do his plate, and so we took the top off the Jell-O and the soup and everything else and got everything arranged. And as we get done, he looks and he says, "God is so good." He said, "Everybody has showed up at the exact right time." And he kept going, "God is so good. God is just so good." Over and over, didn't he? Like time and time again, people just show up at the exact right moment. So whatever time you think is right to go see Mr. Harold, I assure you, time will be perfect. God's timing works that way. So, but yeah, he's doing well. But please continue to keep Mr. Harold in your prayers, because he's probably doing some rehab and that sort of thing. Are there others this morning we can pray for? Yes.
Two things. The young man that I mentioned last week, the co-worker of mine whose son was in the house fire. I stopped by Vandy to see him the other day. Did not see him because I didn't want to intrude, but he is doing much better. He's had skin grafts, and he is doing remarkably well. Obviously, he has a long road ahead, but doing well so far. The other thing, my stepdad, Tony, is got admitted to the hospital Friday for chest pain and blood pressure issues. Did not have a heart attack, but hopefully some medications.
And some didn't hear quickly. The co-worker's friend of Suzanne, who had a house fire, the young man was burned as at Vanderbilt. He is doing much better. Long way to go, doing much better. And then Suzanne's stepfather, Tony, was put in the hospital with chest pain instead for yesterday. So keep him in your prayers. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am. I'll come back this way. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Dad finds out tomorrow
he can drive. So who are we praying for there? Heal from whatever happened, he'll be able to drive soon. Liz's neighborhood had some trauma this last couple of weeks, and continue, please pray for those just in difficulties and living those are traveling. Yeah, I think I saw some. Yes, ma'am.
A couple things. Praise for Shane Rebecca and his high school soccer team. Mostly due to the fact that we can't get the VA to treat him often.
prayers for help with that.
Yeah, Brother Whitney, I mean, he's been in pain since, like, the 1980s with the injury, and is as tough as nails with everything he does with family. So, but yeah, we need prayers for Brother as he's struggling. And then high school, making a high school soccer team, that's pretty solid. So, that's a good job, young man. Well done, though. By the way, I saw him in his tryouts. He faked another kid out so bad, I was giggling. I was like, that boy just made the team on that one play. It was awesome. Oh, and others this morning, we've been praying for him. Yes, ma'am.
My friend Marilyn Williams, who has a brain tumor, is having surgery.
Prayers for Marilyn Williams, who's having brain surgery tomorrow.
And then one more that I don't really know how to express this, but there's a couple who have been coming here for a little bit, and I'm not even comfortable sharing the name because I don't know if they want to share, but just prayers for her family, their family.
Prayers for a family who is, just an unspoken request for family in our church. Other others this morning? Yeah. I want to share something fast. Meeting with someone this week, excellent meeting, someone I really appreciate, not in the church, but someone I really appreciate. And they're talking about family churches and how there's a challenge sometimes. We have even stuff like this, an open prayer time. We just kind of share our prayers because maybe it's a barrier. Just maybe new people to church have all the names and, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of things he said to me I completely agreed with, but that one hung me up because I think there's a great beauty in all this bringing prayer requests of people that nobody else in this room knows. Nobody knows Tony. Nobody in this room knows Tony. You've ever been here. But the fact that on Monday or Tuesday or whenever, Jennifer sends all these prayers out to the prayer team, and I know during that week that people are praying for that list, and we're praying for people outside of who we know, praying for people outside of our comfort zone, whatever, that we do that is a powerful notion for a church that demands that we're all in this world together. Amen. So thank you to the prayer team for continuing to pray all week long. And thank you for being vulnerable enough to speak these prayers out loud, because it ain't easy. And so thank you for both of those things. And we'll continue praying for all those in our community that we feel like we need to lift up. So thank you for that. Is there anybody else that we want to add? So God, in prayer, please. Lord, we do pray over this list, people we know. There's a family in the community that lost a house to a fire this week, and surely some know. Reverend Kim knows the people in Haiti. We don't know, though I feel like we know a few now just through their smiles, but we don't know them. Some in this room don't know Mr. Harold, don't know that brother is in church every time the doors are open, if able. Wife was the same way until she just couldn't anymore. Some know Lou and Liz, some don't. Some know Whitney, some don't. Some care about soccer, some don't. Some, you know, co-worker, we don't know the co-worker's friend, the child, don't even know anything about them other than if somebody in a challenge situation and we don't know what else to do other than say, Lord, this is a prayer of ours because it's a prayer of one of us. And so thank you, God, for this community of prayer. Not individuals who pray, but this tight-knit community that prays together, that lifts up your name and lifts up the concerns of the world, not because we think our demands will do anything, but because we don't have anywhere else to go. You are the place that we go. You are the place that we cry to, and you are the place in which we rejoice when we find prayers answered. So thank you, God, for however you answer prayers, in whatever way you answer prayers. Thank you, God, for it, and we will rejoice as a community when we see it. We pray all this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand, church? Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy. And go looking around because God's doing things. And Lord, release from this place, but never from you and never from one another. And God's people said, Amen.
What?
Such a cool hymn.
Oh my gosh. Just I love that it takes the time to have this little. Right? Those little things make all the difference.
The lower leading tone, like it's backdoor dominant.
Exactly. Yep.
So cool.
And I've seen it written, David, I've seen it written as a 4 minor, but then I love that they go to the flat 7 there just to make it.
It's much easier on a guitar, maybe.
You're right.
Been practicing spread triads a whole lot more, and it's unlocked a little bit of more comfortability moving around. I spent so much time like reading music, trying to copy every little thing, but it was